Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Mike Vrabel out as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. We say hello now to John McClain down in Houston. John, I got to tell you, I'm fired up this morning. People are checking on my well-being because I'm just trying to figure this all out. And it's not that I'm mad about Mike Vrabel being fired necessarily. It's just this whole process that the Titans have gone through, and I just don't know if I trust them to do better than what they had in Mike Vrabel. Thanks for joining us. What were your initial thoughts when you got the news that Vrabel was out?
Chase and Joe, I've been keeping up with all the everything going on up there about him possibly going to New England if Bill Belichick is out like most people expect. I never thought there'd be a trade. Those trade coaches are so rare in the NFL. The last one was Gruden. It cost two ones, two twos, and $8 million for the Raiders to let him go to Tampa. And the Bucs won a Super Bowl, so they were happy. But that doesn't happen anymore. And you can't trade a coach without his permission. So a coach can always say, no, I'm not going to be traded to that team. And so I never put much stock in that, that Mike would be traded. And considering what the Titans went through this year injury-wise, and this is the feeling around Houston, Jacksonville, and Indy, they're rejoicing because they knew Mike could do more with less than any coach in the league. Miami, a good example. Sunday was a great example. Jaguars had everything to play for. Titans, if nothing, and they beat them. And the celebration started in Houston where they were such big Titans fans for one day. Then they could go back to hating them. And Michael have multiple offers. And I don't see him sitting around doing a TV job. I think he'll go to another team. And all I think about this season, the injuries, that was the worst offensive line I can remember seeing. And I've been covering this league 48 years. And it's because of all the injuries. And I felt sorry for you seeing those guys, so-and-so's down, so-and-so's down. And so you had one receiver in Hopkins. You didn't have any other legitimacy receiver. Tajay Spears was a revelation, and he and Henry were what they had. Losing Jeffrey Simmons made a huge difference on that defense, and yet they played 12 one-score games, 5-7. They had six games decided by three or less, and they were 2-4. You know, was it Vrabel's fault that Kaimi Fairbairn kicked a 54-yard field goal on the last play of overtime? I don't think so. When a new GM comes in, and I've seen 100 GMs, well, actually more than that, they always have a list of people they want to hire when they get the opportunity. Head coaches, personnel people under them, and then usually they come in, they watch for a year, and then they start to make changes. And I would imagine Rand Cawthorn's going to want to hire somebody he's familiar with. And the hottest name that he's familiar with is Bobby Slowick, the Texans offensive coordinator. They were together for 6 years in San Francisco. And I know Kyle Shanahan is really high on Bobby Slowick. DeMeco Ryans is really high on Bobby Slowick. Two teams have already reached out, Carolina and Washington. I'm going to ask Bobby today when we get the coordinators about all this. But I think, I don't know, but this is what I think. Slowick's been a coordinator and a play caller 1 year. And I know it was important to him to leave the 49ers and join his close friend, DeMeco Ryans, because Kyle Shanahan always calls the plays with the 49ers, and he needed to succeed and fail. And overall, he's been a tremendous success. But Ben Johnson with Detroit last year interviewed here. 2 years ago, DeMeco Ryans interviewed, and Kevin O'Connell. All of them decided after their first interviews as coordinators to go back for another year of seasoning. And it won't surprise me at all, considering everything is looking up with the Texans, and Bobby calls plays for C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins, and they got a load of cap money and draft. They still have Cleveland's first and fourth round pick. So I don't know that I know he won't go to Carolina. Nobody in their right mind will go to Carolina unless no. You're desperate. That would be a guy like Frank Reich, or Reich, as David Tepper called him at his firing news conference. A guy like that who has had a job and wants another head coaching job, because they're going to make $4 or $5 million $1 million, and you don't make that as a coordinator. So Panthers will get one, but they're not going to get a hot young coach who's going to go when he has better offers. And I have no idea what Carthon thinks about slowing, but I know what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch think, and I'm guessing Rand Carthon thinks the same thing, that he is a hot young offensive coach who has done a tremendous job with the Niners, working his way up from defense to Shanahan taking him over to offense and now running the Texans offense. And if he does go somewhere like Tennessee, I'll be really happy for him because he's done a hell of a job and he's a great guy. And I'll say one more thing. Usually when you fire a defensive head coach, you go offensive. So I'm guessing that the Titans will hire a coach with an offensive background. He will have an offense that is very, say, modern, like the Texans run, but it also depends on the talent. Bobby Slowick doesn't have much of a running game, but he's got a good passing game, and he's done a tremendous job with it.
So John McClain is with us. Here's why I'm upset today, I guess. And you've covered this team. You obviously knew Bud Adams very well. You've seen it all throughout your years. I just feel like there's not a direction. And you know, you fire the general manager in John Robinson in the middle of the season with a winning record while leading the division. The whole season just goes in the toilet after that. Whether that was the reason or not, it certainly had to have something to do with it. I like Rand Carthon. I think he's a nice guy. But I feel like yesterday he was put in a position where the owner should have been speaking about her decision. She does a pre-taped, sit-down, scripted interview with Mike Keith to answer all those questions, but she's not taking questions from the general media. And then you put Rand Carthon out there, and he's being asked, were you in the room? Did you have an influence on the decision? No, I wasn't in the room. That was all on Amy. It's not a good look, in my opinion. And I feel like there's got to be some accountability. And you can correct me if I'm wrong here, John. That seems, even Bud, though, would have been in a press conference when you're making a coaching change or a GM change. And that's what's bothering me about this.
Well, Bud here seldom did that. When Bum Phillips was fired, we didn't hear anything from Bud Adams. And okay, that was the biggest firing in his franchise's history. And most owners will put out statements. I know here when they fired Lovie Smith and when they fired David Culley the year before, they had statements, and the general manager was put in front of the media. And I'll tell you this, Amy Adams Strunk did not make this decision without consulting people in the organization like Rand Carthon, because no owner, I don't know any owner does that. Maybe Dave Tepper, but that's not Amy's style. She has her confidants. She talks to them before she makes a decision like that. And I saw the interview with Mike Keith and the question. She said that this started back. I'm guessing this had more to do with the style that Mike had, differences. And of course, Rand Carthon's going to say they had no differences at all and everything was hunky-dory. It never is. And you're going to have natural disagreements with a coach and GM. But if Amy wanted to make this move, this is not something she just thought, okay, I'm going to fire Vrabel without talking to people. I don't know who she talks to in the organization, but I know this, Rand Carthon will hire a coach. She'll sign off on it. She'll interview the guy. And I'm guessing it's somebody that he has familiarity with, because he's been in the NFL for a while. And I'll say this, that first draft, the top of that first draft with Skoronski, Levis, and Spears looks pretty good. If Levis hadn't got beaten up behind that offensive line, I would have expected him to continue to improve. And so that bodes well for the next draft, a high pick. The new coach, the new coach, when you hire a new coach, if he says, see, it were Bobby Slowick, and he said, we had Levis great as a third-round pick. I think we need to upgrade. Then you can't hire a coach and tell him who the quarterback's going to be. You got to give him some freedom. So that's something that'll be very, very important, because Spears and Skoronski and Levis, the top of that draft, look very good. It bodes well for the next draft. Got a lot of money to get free agents. And so I think as it's looking up, And I would think, you know, they let John Robinson hire Mike Vrabel because they had worked together. They were familiar with each other from the Patriots. And I'm guessing Amy will let Rand Carthon hire the coach that he wants, and she'll sign off on that coach. And then they'll get ready for free agency in the draft, and people will keep their fingers crossed.
We're talking to John McClain this morning. John, it was speculated that Mike Vrabel wanted Amy to hire a director of football operations. I don't see how that would have ever worked, because then you got, you know, Mike would go to him, then Rand would go to him. It would just putting a Band-Aid on a huge problem. I don't think that would have ever worked.
Well, first of all, Joe, you got to have somebody to have final say. It's got to be in a contract. Like here, Nick Caserio has it in his contract. He has final say. And then you got to make sure the general manager and the coach work well together. Nick Caserio has done everything he can to get the players D'Amico Ryans has wanted. Mike Holovac, who's general manager for the Oilers for a while, told me one time, he said, if I take a player that the coach doesn't want, he's not going to play him. And it's up to the coach who plays. And if I take a player I don't like that he likes, he's going to play that player come hell or high water just to show me that he was right. So you have to have a meeting of the minds, but somebody always has to have final say. The Texans went for a while with Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith. And as soon as Bill O'Brien came in here, he started trying to get control of personnel. And so Bob McNair said, if they have a problem they can't agree on, they come to me, and I'll make the decision. And so far they haven't come to me. So you're just asking for trouble if you don't give one person final say, and it should be the general manager. Now, there are a lot of teams that, like Kyle Shanahan, it's in his contract, he gets final say. Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick. There's coaches across the NFL, and Sean Payton, who have a general manager, and they're happy to let the general manager get the pub, but they have final say. I don't think a first-time head coach who the Titans hire should not have final say. It should be the general manager. If the general manager isn't good enough to have final say on personnel, why did you hire him to begin with?
I think that's the question a lot of people are asking. Is like, why not let Rand, if he's your general manager, just let him control the team, because that's the way it's been. Have you ever been when you covered all those Oiler teams for so many years, did the buck stop? I mean, I know the owner, but Adams, but did the buck stop with the GM?
It did most of the time, unless you're a guy like Bob Phillips and you were the head coach and the general manager. But when Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher were together, and Floyd had final say, and they fought like crazy, but it was professional. I mean, you're always going to have disagreements. People in the office will hear arguments going on, and then they might tell somebody else, or tell somebody else, tells an agent. Then it gets out, man, they don't like each other. And I've heard some knockdown, drag-out arguments, but they kept it professional. And if you don't have disagreements, they shouldn't be in those positions. And so I think in this case, ultimately, unless Amy Adams Trump were to hire a coach, say a big-time coach, say Bill Belichick wanted to come home to Nashville, where he was born, and of course she's going to let Bill Belichick have final say, and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying if you get a coach, say another coach gets hired, it's a surprise, and they're like, whoa, we want that guy. Everybody wants him. Well, we'll give him final say. But by and large, I think they're going to have a first-time offensive coordinator is a first-time coach, and Rand Carthon should have final say on personnel.
I agree. John, when you first – I know you mentioned earlier, when you first heard yesterday that Vrabel was fired, what was your immediate reaction?
Joe, I was stunned because I know how highly regarded Vrabel is around the NFL. Now, I also have to say I like Mike. I like Mike here. I used to spar with him, and because, you know, he can be tough with the media, but I always respected him. Mike did behind the scenes several charity things with me and gave his time, and he did. So I'm partial to Mike Vrabel, but it's not like he got to be a bad coach from being coach of the year in 2021. And I really thought this year to win six games with those injuries, a rookie quarterback with that offensive line was a better coaching job than when he was coach of the year in 2021.
Well, it's going to be interesting, John, to see where this all goes from here. You mentioned Belichick. Do you still think that that's imminent, that he's going to be out in New England?
I think it's very interesting, Chase, because Tom Curran from NBC Boston has covered that team forever. He's going to have a big fried egg on his face if Belichick's not out. Because he had a story 6 weeks ago, the decision was made after a game in Europe. He's out. And then Ian Rappaport came back and said, no, he's not out. Decision hadn't been made. Well, if he stays, everybody's going to look bad because everybody's been saying he's gone. I tweeted this morning when I was watching ESPN, why do you need multiple meetings over multiple days between Belichick and Kraft if they know he's going to be gone? And somebody said, well, it's over his contract. What do you mean over his contract? He's under contract. Everybody says he makes $20 million a year. That's pretty cut and dried. Is Kraft going to pick his brain on every subject, every position, every player, and then say thanks for the memories? I don't know what's going on up there. I'm guessing Robert Kraft would want changes in the way they do business. And Belichick, I can't imagine he would do that, knowing there are other opportunities out there with teams that are a lot better off than the Patriots, because I don't know who would want to go up there right now, including Mike Vrabel, who is very respected and liked. But you know what they say about replacing legends.
You don't want to be the guy to follow the guy. That is for sure.
You want to be the guy who followed the guy.
Yeah, exactly. John, we appreciate it as always. Thanks for going on with Jared yesterday as well. And we'll see how this all shakes out. Maybe they'll get it right. I don't know, but I got to see it to believe it. I'm
only time to tell on that one, Chase. You got drafts. You got free agency period. It's a big deal for Rand Goffarn because Rand is the man.
Yep, that is for sure. We'll talk next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
John McClain joining us, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, as he does every week. Let's squeeze in Buffalo real quick because he's been waiting very patiently. Buffalo, what's up?
Wow, that guy, John, is a wealth of information. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I feel like I've been educated this morning. Now, my take on it is, Vrabel's going to go somewhere, be a head coach. He's going to come back. He's going to kick the Titans' butt. That's all I got. I got nothing back up, John. John, my God, that guy's a wealth of information.
For
God,
sure.
Good morning.
Thanks, Buffalo. Appreciate it.
What did Amy say about firing? It wasn't a – she didn't come to a decision yesterday. It was an all-long decision.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and we'll hear from Diana Rossini, who's on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. I know she said that there was something that kind of happened in the last few weeks that led to it. So we'll get to that. But I wanted to bring on a former player of Mike Vrabel's, okay, Dennis Kelly, and I feel like he's the perfect one because his brother is also the offensive coordinator. He was – pretty outspoken on Twitter yesterday. Former Titans offensive lineman Dennis Kelly going to join us coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.